The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the show, Your Money with David Hayes. Thanks so much for being with me. I know if you're listening on Thursday, it is chilly, it is damp, it is cold. I haven't looked at the weekend forecast yet, but I'm hoping it turns around. But nonetheless, fall is here, and here I am, top of One City Center, doing the big show. So glad you're with me. My anniversary was October 23rd, and I forgot because I recorded last week's show prior to me heading out of town to say happy anniversary to my lovely bride Misty of 20 solid 8 years, and she gave me a wonderful card and I guess a beautiful tribute on Facebook, which I'm not a big Facebook guy, but I am on Facebook, and I probably should read it at some point because everyone else said it sounded so lovely. So with that said, let's get the show kicked off by saying this. So we had our book signing at Morgan Stern Books on the east side where Pier 1 used to be. Beautiful, beautiful spot. If you haven't checked out our great new local bookstore, please do so. They have a great coffee and tea bar with snacks. It was so much fun. Myself and Sam Artery, local attorney at Bunger & Robertson, who wrote Positively Conflicted. He got the questions at the end. I mean, his topic obviously was much more interesting than my topic, but we had a nice time and a fantastic turnout. And I think Fred Glass will be there next week, I believe, for his book signing and author discussion. So thank you for that opportunity. It went fantastic. And any of you that would like to have me come speak at your event, please contact us at cfci.us. Hopefully you'd enjoy it. And of course, we're speaking on the title 2025, The Final Drive, What You Need to Know to Win. I will be doing a program for the Teachers Union. It's via Zoom, which that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Let's see, I believe that's tomorrow. But anyway, nonetheless, I don't keep my calendar. Someone else does. They just plug and play me whenever they want me to show up somewhere. Also this week, we had a great turnout at Ivy Tech for retirement planning today. It's through the Center for Lifelong Learning. That ship has sailed. Next time you'll have an opportunity to attend that class will be sometime in 2022. But the room was packed, people dying for information and education. I was so happy to see that. I swooped in there on Wednesday night briefly, or was it Tuesday night? Tuesday night briefly, and was so impressed with the turnout. Gave them a little preview of my talk on the 2025, The Final Drive, Taxes and Retirement, and let them know that, hey, coming soon to a theater near you will be an opportunity to come and take the entire course, which I have put together, which is about 2 hours long, on educating people on the importance of knowing where we are today, where we're likely to go in the future. And if you don't believe that that's possible from a tax perspective, take a look on our history. And if you don't know history, it's certainly deemed to repeat itself. All right, so with that said, let's do a little news of the week brought to you by my good friends at Kenny Bland Auctions. They are your full-service auction service. They offer the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them at KennyBlandAuctions.com. Also, Lance Like at the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. And finally, Unrivaled Electric. They want to be your full-service electrical contractor. Specialize in generators, which we might need as the winter is upon us. Solar arrays, probably not the greatest time to catch sunlight in the dreary days of early winter, although I really just late fall. And they are veteran-owned. Unrivaled Electric wants to be your electrician like mine. Call them at 812-361-3604 or just Google them or find them on Facebook. All right, so we, of course, we talk deficits and debt all the time here on the big show. But there's only been five surplus years in the last 61 years. Yeah, so out of the last 56 of 61 years, we have been running budget deficits. Now, in 2021, it was the whopper of all, $2.772 trillion with a T, dollars. The only years we've run a surplus, 69, 98, 99, 2000, and 2001. Interesting, right? Big boom. And I was talking to someone today, and I thought, you know, this makes a lot of sense. 98, 99, 2000, 2001, of course, the bubble burst, the tech bubble burst. But, man, were things rocking and rolling at that time. Wages were on the rise. And that could be a big boost to the bottom line of tax revenue. As wages have gone up, that's more taxes that will be collected, more taxes paid into the system. So we'll see if that pans out or not. The cover story for Time magazine back in 1984, The Monster Deficit, America's Economic Black Hole. It was written by Charles Alexander. It chronicled how the nation's projected 1984 budget deficit threatened to derail the United States. The just-released fiscal year, the 2021 budget deficit of $2.772 trillion, is 15 times the size of the fiscal year 1984 budget deficit of a mere $185 billion. From Time magazine. Inflation, everyone's concerned about it. We feel it every day. We haven't had a ton of inflation over the last several years, but it would take nearly $2,000 in September of 2021 to have the same purchasing power as $1,000 did back in 1991. That comes from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The maximum Social Security paid to a worker retiring at full retirement age in 2022 is $3,345 per month, more than double the $1,660 per month paid back 20 years ago. That's kind of interesting that when you look at the purchasing power thing, we go all the way from 2021, right? We go back to 1991. So you think about that. That's 20 years, boom. And it's you know, $3,345 per month versus $1,660 per month. So there you go. That's the doubling. So Social Security, that's why we encourage people to delay it if you can, because you get those extra 8% bumps each year, and it is inflation adjusted. And, oh, by the way, it's not yet fully taxable by the federal government, and in the great state of Indiana, not taxed at all. Here we go, boys. The maximum taxable wage base subject to Social Security payroll tax will be $147,000 in the year 2022, unless something changes, which that is obviously in the crosshairs and has been for some time. An estimated 84% of earners in the U.S. are subject to Social Security payroll tax. That's, of course, 6.2% for you, 6.2% for your employer, and that's the most you'll ever pay. Of course, we make fun of that with the 1935 announcement of how Social Security will be paid for, when it talks about $1 for every three you earn, and that's the most you'll ever pay. Well, that comes from the trustees report, and I'm assuring you this was not the most you'll ever pay. Let's just tax the other guy. Here's a funny thing. 71% of voters surveyed in October of this year supports an increase of federal income tax on the top 2%. Sounds like a lot of U.S. taxpayers. For 2018, the last year we have data, the top 2% of taxpayers had adjusted gross income of $359,000. Yes, that's a lot to most, but there's a lot of people that make that or more. That group represents 26.3% of all adjusted gross income, and they pay 48% of all the federal tax. So let's just jump on their back even more. And finally, demand for guaranteed retirement income is on the rise. This comes from a June 7, 2021 article out of BlackRock. Guaranteed income has gained renewed interest as many American workers are worried about outliving their retirement savings, according to the fifth annual DC Pulse survey from BlackRock. The survey said 89% of workers saving for retirement through their workplace, their 401ks, are interested in options that would get them guaranteed income in retirement. 90% said owning guaranteed income in retirement would positively impact their financial well-being. I'm saying mental well-being. Participants in all generations strongly favor owning products that design specifically to generate income in retirement. Millennials showing the strongest interest. That's interesting, 94%. Maybe they'll look at their grandparents and say, wow, look at those pensions that they have, and I don't have it. 89% of Gen Xers show interest in the retirement income, as did 83% of the baby boomers, which most of them have no pensions either. Gen Xers were the most likely to say they are unsure or not on track with their retirement savings. I found that interesting because I'm technically a Gen Xer, and I'm an old Gen Xer, right? So I'm 51, will be 52. I had to think about that. And, you know, my dad was the earliest of the baby boomers. He's 74. Of course, no one told them until it was really, really late what they needed to do to prepare for retirement, because everyone in front of them had pensions, right? Well, that no longer was the case. So then the boomers would typically, as they got started, say to their kids, Gen Xers, millennials, you need to start saving now. Well, that's the cool thing is that, yeah, Gen Xers have a chunk of me where it was a little bit late for them to really get on us, but the millennials were like, man, dude, you got your job. First thing you need to do is sign up for this and that. That's your parents talking. That's your coworkers telling you that, your older coworkers. And lo and behold, the millennials appear to be in better shape than everybody as they save and prepare for retirement. Pretty interesting stuff. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, you hear the song Money, 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 right? I'm not a very good singer. I'm thinking taxes, taxes, taxes. A lot of news, right, every day about this. How are we going to get more revenue? We'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Yeah, money, 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 right? That's a great song. Someone asked me the other day, are you into music? I said, well, I listen to music, but I cannot tell you who sings anything, including Money, 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 if that's even the name of the song. I usually have two answers, John Mellencamp and Jimmy Buffett. If you don't fall, well, maybe Shania Twain. If you don't fall into those three categories, then I'm going to get it wrong every time. Well, here's the thing that has really got me wondering. All of these new tax increases they're looking for, right? Now, we know that the current tax law that was passed in 2017 will sunset in 2025, and we will, at a minimum, revert back to where we were, which we've said many times does not keep us up at night. What keeps us up at night is the fact that we are $30 trillion nearly in debt. We've been adding trillion-dollar deficits, and now we have these massive spending bills coming through that they're now saying we need to figure out a way to pay for this thing. As you look at the ideas floating around, some of them are very, very good. Some of them probably aren't so good, and that's normally the way it works. But here's what I'm thinking. They're having such a difficult time with this wealth tax, trying to tax the billionaires. They want to tax corporations on the reported revenue. Like when they come out on a quarterly basis and say, hey, we had, you know, this many hundred million of revenue, but yet we still show a loss for tax purposes. They want to tax that, which, you know, it probably makes a little sense, right? But what about unrealized capital gains or, you know, all of these other things that they are talking about right now? I'm just saying, listen, everything's on the table, everything. And as it gets harder and harder for them to figure out how to tax carry forward interest or all the complicated things that most of us have no clue about, it might come down to they just say, you know what? Let's just go get the easy money. Let's say, you know what? Instead of 85% of Social Security being taxed, let's make it 100%. People are going to be like, God, that stinks, but what are you going to do about it? What if they say, oh, you know what, we're going to, instead of letting you take your IRA out over a long period of time, like 27 years when you're 72 years old as RMDs, let's move it to the single table where you have to take it out over 17 years. Well, that's more money out of your retirement accounts, more money in the coffers of the U.S. government. But the baffling thing to me is, Why haven't we been talking about these things to pay for our current expenses, what we already have overspent and overpromised, instead of looking to pay for all of these new expenses that are being proposed? So I just think that there's so many unintended consequences to just willy-dilly, and I don't think they are. I think obviously they're beating this thing around like an old punching bag, but you need to understand the unintended consequences of higher taxes in certain areas. And I'm not going to take an opinion one way or the other. I'm just saying they need to be careful. As an example, if you did start taxing on the reported earnings, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to start playing with those numbers to pay less tax. Then you have a whole new world of how do we really value companies. So that could kill asset prices, right? I don't know if that would or not, but I think it probably would, at least in the beginning. So yeah, and then that kills the 401ks, and that kills psyche of Americans. That kills consumer spending. So you have this trickle-down effect of unintended consequences, and then boom, you're in a recession. So anything that they do, they have to be very, very careful to not just take things at the surface and say, this will raise this much money and this will pay for that. They need to say, if this happens, what else could happen? And I hope they do. Now, why I think the low-hanging fruit's easier, it just is. It always has been. Because there's less people that understand it. There's less people that will fight it. There's less money behind the lobbyists to fight it. So when I look at the debt, nearly $30 trillion, and I look at the fact that there's exactly, almost exactly the same sitting in tax-deferred retirement accounts, is that coincidence? It probably is. But does that mean that it's off the radar? No, it's completely on the radar. And every time I turn around, they're talking more and more about what you can't do with retirement accounts like backdoor Roths. You know, no matter how much income you make, you can do a Roth conversion. But what about Roth contributions? That's always been funny to me. Okay, I can convert $1 million from my traditional to my Roth, but I can't put $6,000 in? That doesn't make any sense, but that's the rules. So the way around that has been, well, let's make a non-deductible contribution to a traditional IRA. Everyone can do that. And then if you have income, and then convert it immediately to a Roth. That's our backdoor Roth. Well, they're looking at that saying, we don't want to allow that anymore. They're thinking that allows the wealthy to get more money in tax-free. Why do you think the wealthy are so interested in getting money into tax-free? Because they know what all of us know, but they just have a better way of doing it, and that's getting money out of taxable accounts because taxes are on the rise, period, end of the story. I had a good question come up right before I came on tonight, so I thought I would share it. So, a lot of people fed up with their jobs in education and healthcare. If you work at the hospital, many, many of you are miserable. And thank you for hanging in there as others decide to bail, because without you, then nothing would happen if you were sick or hurt. So first of all, thank you for that. Number two, many of you have these 403B plans, and hopefully many of you have been listening to this narrative of higher taxes coming, and you're not putting away the money tax deferred. You're putting it into the Roth, which most of you listening have a Roth option in your 401k. 403B, if you work at the school systems, if you work for the hospital, I mean, if you work for Indiana University, they now have Roth options. You should be putting your money into the Roth. Pay the tax on the way in. Pay the tax on the seed money. And then guess what? You never pay tax again, even on that massive harvest down the road. So here's the thing. We had a 54-year-old, and she was like, I've got to quit. I've got to get out of here. I believe she was a nurse. She's been putting money away into the 403B, and I told the advisor that asked me the question, you know, can she get money out of this thing without paying a tax penalty? And I'm like, well, if she can hang on till next year, if you're 50, well, and here's the thing, there's other rules about age 50, but she wasn't going to apply, it wasn't applicable to her. So I'm looking at her and saying, okay, if you can get to 55, we have the rule of 55. If you terminate in the year you turn 55, you can access the money in that retirement plan without any tax penalty. If you have it in an IRA, it's 59 and a half without a penalty. But here was the but she'd been putting money into the Roth. So I'm like, well, it still applies. You cannot take money out of the 403B without a penalty, even though it's some Roth money. But what if we roll it to an IRA? Well, if you roll it to an IRA, then the money that was in the Roth portion creates a basis in the IRA, which can come out tax-free and penalty-free. There's a rule of order when it comes to IRAs. You first take out contributions, and anyone can do that at any age. No problem. You put the money in today, you can take it out tomorrow. Next that comes out is conversions. Now, that has a little bit of a waiting period, but that's the next money out. And then you have gains. So the gains, you would have to wait until 5 years or 59 and a half. In this case, she would have to wait till 59 and a half to get the gains, but she can take all of her basis out if she wants, and that's going to be the plan. So just a lot going on, and I'm just trying to make people understand and be aware of the fact that everything is on the table, and the only thing that you can control is the money in your retirement account. We can't control everything else happening out there. I can't control the fact they're probably going to raise the taxable wage base for Social Security up to 200, 250 from 147. I can't control that. I can't control, you know, maybe taxes on other things, and you name it out there, everything's on the table. But I can control paying off the taxes now on my 401ks and IRAs and being done with it. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's get Hot Rod on the phone. Inflation on your mind, it is on everyone's mind. We'll be back at Your Money with David Hayes. You know, last week we had the fears over inflation, supply shortages, and slowing economic growth in China kind of pushed investors to react to this sort of, I'm not sure about things, but then bang, positive corporate earnings surprises started to hit, and they continued even today on Thursday. Rod, and I tell you, the market with all of this fantastic news coming from companies that are obviously in the crosshairs of supply shortages, labor shortages, and everything else does come at some surprise, and obviously the market's reacting to it.
Yeah, you know, I think to a certain degree, a little bit of what we've talked about on Glass's show is that I think for the last maybe month and a half, you were working a lot on technicals, and we had kind of breached a 50-day moving average, which kicked in a little extra selling, and you went down, you found support at the 100-day moving average, and you kind of bounced in between those two things for a while. I think the first thing that began to accelerate or break out of the trading range in which we were between those two moving averages was really the declining numbers within the Delta variant and beginning to feel comfortable that, okay, we weren't going to end up with a massive spike that was going to have us institute more lockdowns or more restrictions that were going to slow the economy. Then you got into earnings season, and so far we're only about 30% through it, but I think I saw 81% of the companies have exceeded expectations up to this point. So far earnings have been good. Now, as I've been saying for a while, it is going to be a bit of a mixed bag. It's not going to be good for everybody, because certain sectors, certain industries, and even certain individual companies were most certainly impacted more from that spike in the Delta variant through the spring, summer, and into the fall here than other companies were. So I think we're still going to have a little bit of uneasiness coming out, but overwhelmingly the data looks good. What most people seem to be concerned about, of course, is what they're saying on the earnings call about those things you just mentioned: supply constraints, cost of raw materials, labor shortages, cost of labor, those types of things. That's what's really important. Obviously, earnings and revenue is extremely important, but we had a pretty good idea we were going to have a pretty good quarter from an earnings and revenue perspective. But hey, what does the future hold, giving those headwinds that we know are out there pushing back against these corporations?
You know, we were talking with Eric this week how he said you can't have one without the other. We were talking about the money supply, of course, the dumping of tons of dollars, not just into our system, but obviously all around the globe, and the current realities of inflation. And I had question after question about what do you do to hedge inflation, and some are concerned about hyperinflation, and I ask, what's the definition of hyperinflation? You know, your hyper might be different than my hyper, but the bottom line is, Rod, when you have inflation, asset prices will go up, which means you want to own assets. You want to own things that go up when inflation goes up. Doesn't mean you're actually getting ahead of the game, but at least you're staying with the game, right?
Yep. And from a hyperinflation perspective, one of the simple things that is missing, as I understand inflation or hyperinflation, is that you have inflation and you have rising input prices while you have declining demand. We do not have declining demand, which is why I think the hyperinflation talk is really hyperbole, and I think it's coming out of people who want to attract attention to themselves, because if they just say we have inflation, well, who isn't saying we have inflation?
Right.
So it's hard to get any press time if you just say, we have some inflation. But you start throwing around extremes like hyperinflation, now all of a sudden you get a little bit of coverage and some people want to talk to you. But we're a long ways from having legitimate hyperinflation, because demand is extremely strong and you don't get hyperinflation off of increasing input prices while having increasing strong demand at the same time.
Yeah, so folks, when you invest, you can do one of two things. You can own or you can loan. Loaning is not great during hyperinflation or inflation at all. And Rod, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't own fixed investments, because they certainly have their purpose, even if, you know, even if the interest rate ends up lagging behind inflation rates, there's always a purpose for that. But when it comes to inflation, you want to own stuff. So own stocks, you own real estate, you know, you own things, and that will help you hedge inflation. And that's why we've always encouraged that no matter what age you are, we had a piece earlier, I think I've already disposed of it, but it took, in the last 20 years, I think it was 20 years, 1991 to 20, yeah, 2021, 1991 to 2021, so a little longer than that. But it took, if you had $2,000 today, that was the same as having like $1,000 in 1991. So you have to hedge inflation no matter how old you are. And I think a lot of people heading into retirement think, oh, it's time to tuck my wings in and not worry about being in growth any longer. But as we've said many times on the show, that's not the right way to look at it. You have to make sure you're in something that will hedge inflation, because most things that you are hiding in will not. And it will decimate your earning power over time and your purchasing power, right?
Oh, most certainly, and especially when you look at retirement. Retirement's not what it was for our grandparents or our great-grandparents, in which you retired and maybe lived another 5 to 10 years and then you passed away. People were living 20, 30 years and longer in retirement. So, yes, you most certainly are going to have to combat inflation or have a dramatic reduction of purchasing power over time. So your bucket strategy, as you talk a lot about, Dave, that long-term bucket, which is equities, it's really there for two purposes. The one is the more obvious one. At some point in time, as we drain the soon bucket and we move the intermediate bucket to the soon bucket, we've got to replenish that intermediate bucket. So that comes from that long-term bucket. But along the way, we also want to give some cost of living adjustments. So when you have appreciation, especially if you're getting appreciation faster than what the plan suggested you might, you start stripping some of those gains off to move them into the now bucket to say, hey, you know what? We see some inflation out there, so that monthly income we've been kicking out to you is no longer doing the same thing it was for you a year ago. We need to kick that up a little bit so that your lifestyle is still the same as it was prior to this inflation kicking in.
So, Rob, real quick before I let you go, there are people, I talk to them every day, that no matter what you say, they're still just a little bit anxious about being at all-time highs just a few years from retirement. We've built their soon bucket. They should feel comfortable that, hey, still, this is 10 to 12, 15-year money. But there have been some pretty innovative products created, and we've used some of them for some of those people. Explain real quickly about these new products. They're not that new. We just let them go for a while so we could witness the outcomes. But some of these newer ETF structures that are out there, don't mention any particular company by name, but more just the structure in general. Sure. That's available for people to understand, and maybe they can inquire with us about that or ask their own advisor about that.
Yeah. So conceptually, it has been around a long time, and products similar to these have been used in Europe fairly extensively for a long period of time. And those are structured notes. And those structured notes typically would run 3 years to maybe even as long as 8 years. They give you some downside protection. Sometimes it was principal protection. Sometimes it was a buffer. You know, we're going to protect you on your first 20 down. But then obviously in turn for that protection, you're getting capped on your upside. Well, sometimes some of the problems with that is the product wasn't the best product to unwind if you wanted to get out of it 3, 4, 5 years into it. And it's hard to predict exactly when I need some of this longer term money and lock it up for 8 years. So now you have products in the exchange traded fund world that they run on a 1 year basis. And really the product never goes away. It just rebuys its options to re-up it for another year. But it always trades under the same ticker symbol. And most of them are done monthly, and that's kind of how the ticker symbol works, is it kind of gives you the month, and then there's another letter based on, you know, the buffer itself. But, yeah, what it's doing is basically giving you downside protection. Now, it can be anywhere from protecting you down on the first 10, down on the first 15. There are some out there that give you a little more protection in which you participate in the first 5% down, then maybe they'll protect you on the next 20 or 25% down before you start participating in any losses that would be greater than 30 or 35%. And once again, the trade-off for that protection is you're going to be capped on the upside. So you're going to have a cap, maybe it's 6%, 7%, that says, hey, if the index does 8, 9, or 10, you're going to get 6 out of that. But for that trade-off, we're going to protect you on the downside. If the market happens to drop, you're going to have some protection in there. Yes, we watched them for a couple of years when they first came out. The product sounded great, but of course you want to see implementation and know that there are some expenses that go along with these investment product wrappers that sometimes are too much and don't make the product work as well as you thought it was going to, and sometimes it's just right. And right now what we're seeing, it appears as though these structures are set up pretty well from an expense perspective, and they seem to be doing exactly what they're touting that they're supposed to do, giving you some downside protection, allowing you to participate in the upside to a certain point. So especially for some people who maybe have some large gains and want to lock them in, but don't necessarily need to go as conservative as going into the fixed income world,
right,
which right now the best part of that is protection of principal, not necessarily income generation. These types of products are a good place to park some of those dollars and say, you know what, I'm okay if it goes down a little bit, but I don't necessarily want to go down a full 20 or 30% if we have that kind of a sell-off. So, yeah, we have been utilizing these to protect some of our clients' gains that are nervous about the levels of the current market.
Rod Holloway, of course, you can hear him on Mondays and Fridays with Class in the Afternoon. Rod, thanks as always. I'll see you back at the ranch.
That sounds good, Dave. Have a great show.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about the math behind the problem that we're facing as it comes to debts and deficits, to encourage you to recognize the problem at hand and hopefully have the courage to act. We'll be right back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Thank again to Rod. Of course, he is the guru down at CFCI, the equity portfolio manager. He handles the options as well, and he does a great job along with Eric and Tyler and the gang. So thank you very much for doing the things to allow me to do my things. Just like my wife, you know, it was our 28th anniversary this past week, and people are always like, man, what would you do without your wife? I'm telling you, what would you do without your wife? She gave me the greatest card, and I don't know where she got it. It's probably a Hallmark card, American Greetings card. Doubt she got this one from the dollar store. But it was really nice because we've been married 28 years, of course, married at 23. I just started my practice. We got married in October. I started in February of 1994. And here we are in 2021 with an office of 18. It used to be a one-man band. Rod's been with me for 25, 26, 7 of those years. I mean, almost, gosh, I think I was only around a couple of years before Hot Rod came on. But this is so true, I think, of many of us. It says, there have been times in our life when I thought to myself, if we can make it through this, we can make it through anything. And now that we've made it through just about everything, I can't help but feel proud of how far we've come. From two... Oh, gosh, that's funny. From two starry-eyed lovers. I don't know that we were ever two starry-eyed lovers, but, you know, you can't change the card. To busy parents, to just two of us again as we are now approaching empty nesters. We've made it through challenge. I don't know why that made me laugh. I hadn't read it out loud. I just read it in my head. But changes, challenges, and surprises, now that we've made it through those. Not always smoothly, not always perfectly, but together. So feel lucky to be sharing it with you as whatever the future holds. Isn't that awesome and true for all of us, I think, in relationships? None of them are solid as a rock all the way through. We get irritated with each other, roll our eyes, like they say, behind every good man or great man is a woman rolling her eyes. Well, that's my case for darn sure. All right, I don't even know where I was headed with that. So we are talking about, okay, yeah, so back, I tell this story a lot, but back in 2007, David Walker, who was the Comptroller of the United States of America, was on a national radio show talking about how taxes would need to double for America not to go bankrupt and for us to simply pay for the promises already kept. Of course, he was talking primarily about Social Security and some of the other social programs that we have that have been a backbone of America since, you know, the 1930s and 40s. Well, he goes into the mathematical realities of this. He says, listen, when this thing was first introduced, there was no problem based on birth rates, based on life expectancies. This thing would live on forever without any issues. Back when it first started, we had 45 people paying in for every one taking out. Well, then that back then, you know, did we really expect people to continue to have families of 10 or more? Well, I don't know that people ever thought that would change. Well, then we had the baby boom, right? And you would think, yeah, more babies, more people paying into the system. But don't forget, the baby boomers, when they came back from war, those people that created the baby boom had 35 million less children than their parents did. And this is where the math starts catching up. And you add life expectancies that used to be 62, now 82 to 87, depending on which age you look at or which gender you look at. This is where the math starts to catch up with us. Now we have less than three people paying in. Actually, it's going to be less than two paying in to everyone coming out very, very soon. So that's the math problem right there. So what do you have to do? Do you cut benefits? No. Do you raise taxes? Yes, that's the answer. I was thinking about this with our mask ordinance, our local mask ordinance. I verbally have abused on and off through the last several months, because everywhere else I go in this country, in this state, I do not have to put a mask on. So I just avoid going places where a mask is required. And my office, by the way, is not a public place, just so you know. It says clearly in the ordinance, if you're 6 feet away from someone giving a presentation, you do not have to wear a mask. Boom, there's one out. Number two, public places. My home, my office is not public. It's private. You have to, you know, you don't just walk in and wander around like you do a grocery store. But I was trying to figure out, okay, what's it going to take for us to not have to wear a mask? Well, first I was told if you get vaccinated. I did that. All right. Took my mask off. All right. Put it back on. Why? Well, because we have more than 50 cases positive per 100,000. I'm like, wait a second. That's 0.0005. That's probably never going to happen, especially as you have kids getting it and they're going to the positivity side. And then you have all these people that are negative. Yeah, that's pretty darn low. That's crazy low. 0.0005. Take 50 divided by 100,000. 0.0005. An example, a friend of mine's kid gets it at the daycare, wipes out the daycare for 10 days because, of course, they got it, close contact. Nearly 10 or 12 of the 20 kids got it. Only a few of them had sniffling noses. They were all fine, and the daycare reopened without incident. Well, those were all counted as positive cases, obviously. That goes towards the 50 to 100 ratio. I'm just thinking, that's the math behind the problem right there. Once again, on the surface, you think, oh, that makes sense. At first, someone said, I said 50 per 100,000. You sure you're not talking like 500 or five? What? And they're like, no, 50 per 100,000. So the fans of the show that are listening that obviously know that I've not been real happy about this with this irrational thinking, I'm just saying, pull your calculator out. Do some comparisons. Is there anything out there that we could say that we have a less than 0.0005% of catching? Probably not. Well, we've always had these snot-nosed kids coming home making everyone else at the house sick. I'm just saying, understand the math, understand the problem, and deal with it. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back. Going to give you a little more on the Roth conversions, but I don't have much time. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Thank you to my friend Sam Artery, writing the book Positively Conflicted, as I've been trying to be positively conflicted over this mask ordinance. So take it with a grain of salt, folks. Have a sense of humor. It takes two people to argue. That's what Sam says. We did a great book event at the bookstore on the east side. If you've not been there, go there. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, real quick, another reason to do Roth conversions, get more money into the Roth, besides the fact that at some point in your life, you will be filing as a single taxpayer, one of you if you're married because of death or divorce, and your tax rates double, and your deductions get cut in half, and you need more money, and a check goes away, and now you're going to the well where it's all taxed. That's a bad idea. But it's really also when you get into the Medicare surtax problems. You know, if you have a large IRA and you have Social Security, maybe another form of income, and all of a sudden they're forcing you to take out loads of money from your taxable accounts, you cannot get out of the way of these Medicare surtax charges. And you might be paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars more per month for Medicare by simply not being able to control how much of your income is taxed. So many different ways to consider why you should do a Roth conversion and why you should take advantage of these historically low tax rates. And if you don't recognize the problem, just stick your head right back in the sand, pull your window shade down and pretend like nothing's happening. But if you recognize the issue, you recognize the opportunity in front of you, take advantage of it. Rip the Band-Aid off. Pay that mortgage off, which is the tax against your IRA. Everyone wants to pay their mortgage off before retirement, but no one thinks about this tax, the mortgage, the loan, the share, the partnership of your IRA to the IRS. Today, I know exactly what their share is. I have no idea what it will be in the future. If given a choice, why would you not pay tax when it's the cheapest, not the furthest point in the future? Well, let's take a quick break. I apologize for rushing through that, but we're going to wrap up and talk about next week's show. It's Your Money with David Hayes. I hope I don't sound angry. I hope I sound passionate when it comes to these topics. So I hope you enjoyed the show. If you missed any of it, of course, Saturday morning's a great time to listen, 9 a.m. Of course, we have Halloween this weekend on Sunday. I have youth football on Sunday morning at 9, of all things. So we're going to take care of business hopefully then and then get into that championship game like we're so accustomed to. It's bad when you wake up at night thinking about youth football plays and positions and things like that. I should have better things to worry about than 4:30 in the morning, wide awake, thinking about that. But that's what happens no matter. You know, I always tell people, if you don't care, the kids won't care. So you have to care. And the season's almost over. It's been dragging on just because of the timing and different things like that. But whatever. It's been fun. We've been having a great time and hoping to see these kids the end. So I've been in communication with Ed Slott in his office for the past week trying to get a series, a two-part series worked out with my friend Ed. Still working on that, but that's hopefully what you'll hear next Thursday. And then as I'm gone to Florida for a conference the following week, which I can't wait, sunshine and fun, we will hopefully have part two of Ed Slott. Can't promise anything. His schedule is wicked right now, as Ed is in high demand, as always. He's getting ready to launch a new public television special, that's right, which I heard he is getting ready to tape, and as soon as he tapes it, it's usually out soon after. He, of course, is the number one fundraiser for public television ever. Yes, that's ever. I wish we could get him on here. I just haven't worked hard enough at that, but I'll try. Maybe we'll get him on sometime, and you can see all of the different great public television specials that Ed Slott has been part of. All right, guys, we're going to take the long break. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope that Indiana wins in Maryland because we need it desperately. I need 6 wins so I can go somewhere to a bowl game. I've been to the last 2. I'm disappointed in both, but boy, was I glad to be in a warm, sunny place last year in Tampa, Florida. But I'm afraid if we're on this path of 6 wins, I may be up in Detroit, which I don't really look forward to, or hopefully down to Music City Bowl in Nashville. We talk about that every year. Hopefully this year it comes true. Once again, everyone, if you missed any of the show, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., WGCLradio.com, and of course, iTunes, Google Play, and wherever you get your podcasts, definitely subscribe and listen to that. And some upcoming shows on the 2025 Final Drive. We're going to be kicking that podcast off very soon. Going to just kind of put it right into the same stream as Yomo. So look forward to that. Have a great weekend, everyone. Goodbye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.